Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a difference a point guard really makes to this team. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Monday to recap a pretty interesting weekend for the Pelicans. First, they lose to the Golden State Warriors at home after having a nice little lead in that game and looking like a very good team, only to see those wheels come off. Everyone then thinks they're going to get a rebound win against the Lakers, which they do, but they do run out to a 21-point lead before then taking a big deficit here in the fourth quarter and having to come from behind again now to this Lakers team to end up winning 119-112. I'm going to recap all those and more for you, plus the big signing, that really big signing. It's not even a big signing. It's a 36-year-old point guard who somehow is saving this team. Not that Jameer Nelson, we'll touch on to it. Basically, the big signing that caused this Pelicans team to win here in a situation where things looked really bad and that they were going to start off 0-3, and instead they are 1-2. So in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, we are going to cover all of that and more. So Friday's game against the Warriors, in which the Pelicans ran out to a 39-point first quarter, looked really good, and good things were going on for the team. You saw some ball movement. They finished with 27 assists on 47 made shots. That's a good number right there. And things looked, for the most part, okay. There were some concerns elsewhere, but it was a mix of good and bad, and yeah, the Warriors came back to win, but again, it's the Warriors, and I don't think this was really any big surprise to anyone that they were going to come out and beat the Pelicans. The Pels did get 120 points scored in that game, though, behind Davis and Cousins, 35 points each. Then they got 13 from Jrue Holiday, who still looked bad. And then we're going to talk more about bad Jrue Holiday in a couple of minutes here after this Lakers game. Crawford then got some points, and then Ian Clark jumped in there, hitting 4-4 from the three-point line en route to 14 points total overall. And what it showed is, even in good situations, the Pelicans' two main guys, Cousins and Davis, can't win a game all by themselves. They put in 70 points, and they still couldn't get enough help. 120 points should beat most teams. Not going to beat the Warriors, but that's okay. You had to figure they in this game did get enough help, partially from Holiday's 13 points. Again, not a good game for him, though. And then double digits from two other guys off the bench in Crawford, who's no longer here, and Ian Clark. And Crawford in particular had a bad game. If you were there in the crowd and watching him, he defensively was a mess. And his stat line looks really good, but it really wasn't. There's an obvious reason why he was the guy cut. And you could see, you know, kind of the difference it made into the Lakers game, which is the one I really want to focus more on. That Warriors game is just a Warriors game. You know, you're going to have guys like Steph Curry go off when they're shooting threes. Klay Thompson getting to 31 points, hitting seven threes. Durant doing his Durant thing. And there's not much you're just going to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's just how it goes. No one was expecting that game to be won. They were expecting the first game against Memphis to be won. That kind of turned into same old Pels. And, you know, watching that game, you could just see the bad and everything. But there's been good in every game so far. So let's just switch and talk more about this Lakers game, because this is where it gets kind of interesting for the Pelicans. If you're high on the Pelicans, this game will reinforce a lot of that. If you're down on them, you're going to see the same old from this team that you've seen before. And the truth likely lies somewhere in the middle. So before the Lakers game, the Pelicans made a change to their roster, cutting Jordan Crawford and bringing in Jameer Nelson. And Nelson, after being cut from the Nuggets, was an obvious name to be brought into the Pelicans. And I've been asked this question a lot. And initially, I actually said I don't think they need to do this move just yet. One, because you've got to wonder at 36 years old and being cut from a team where he was likely going to be the starting point guard or could have been the starting point guard, how much he has left. But Jameer Nelson is a very good player, and we saw it last night. So before we go into that, he is wearing number one. I believe he's going to be changing his number, though I don't know to what exactly. I thought it was thrown out there, something in the 20s. I might be wrong, or 14, something like that. But he should definitely keep number one now, and I certainly hope he does. Because he basically saved the Pelicans' bacon last night against the Lakers en route to the 119-112 win when, frankly, they had no business really winning this game after everything that went wrong for the Pelicans and the way that they played. But before we get to the bad, let's look at the first half and in particular what we saw. And what we saw was the Pelicans doing exactly what they want to be doing and what they should be doing, and that's attacking through these bigs. In the first half, the Pelicans put up an offensive rating of 121.3 and a defensive rating of 96.6 for a net rating 24.7, which, by the way, is insanely good. They assisted on over 53% of all makes in that quarter, and most of that damage was done in the paint. If you look at their shot chart from the first half, basically it's all points in the paint. But not just shots in the paint, it was basically in the restricted area. So you had Davis and Cousins getting the ball down low. There were times running big pick and rolls for each other. Jrue Holiday even looked good and was attacking and put up points in the first half as well. I got to pull up the numbers here to see exactly what it was. But let's see Holiday's here in the first half, where he was attacking, though, and looking to get to the rim and working off ball a little bit. He had 10 points in the first half. Davis had 15. Cousins had 13, so things are looking good. And Etuan Moore, the other starter, finally starting to chip in. He was perfect from the field in the first half for 7 points. You had Ian Clark getting in on the action, 9 points in the first half. And basically it just goes and shows you that, you know, Davis and Cousins can be your lead horses and carry you only so far, but other guys need to get them across the finish line. And the Pelicans were getting their other horses to do that and helping out there. And basically it led to, so with points in the paint, the percentage of the Pelicans' points in the paint, 64.7. So the majority of their damage came down low. They were banging. It was exactly what you wanted to see. They hit enough threes. They hit four in the first half to keep the defense honest. And they had enough spacing out there because of that. And it was working. And they were scoring. And they were driving. And everything was good. Ball movement was there. Again, like I said, they assisted on over 53% of their shot attempts. That's what this team needs to be doing. That's what, you know, kind of vanished at times for them during that Memphis game. And they kind of got it back a little bit against the Warriors because they were being hot. And then the Pelicans' newest addition, Jameer Nelson, was the first sub in and looked really good, to be honest, when you saw him playing. He was out there running an offense, which isn't something you saw much from the rest of the guards here in New Orleans for the first two games, and nor were you expecting them to. And my goodness, Holiday cannot be running an offense right now. He has no choice but to be working off ball. You can't give him any minutes at point guard or any possessions at point guard right now because it is an absolute wasteland there from him. But Jameer Nelson immediately stepped in and just was a steadying hand, a veteran point guard who knows how to run an offense, almost any offense, and it does help that there's a little bit of familiarity with Chris Finch, though I think that bit is kind of overblown here. But he's out there pointing people out where they need to be going. He can actually make an entry pass to the bigs down low. That's another thing. I mean, how many times have we seen just lazy entry passes, or something that turns into a turnover? So, you know, with his three assists in the first half, Jameer Nelson made his presence felt just in a multitude of different ways. And basically, that was really all the Pelicans needed on this roster and to get their offense kind of clicking when they're all working and they're all motivated. You had, you know, moments where he just pointed out where people needed to go, or he just put the ball on the wood and drove and then dished, or made a good pass to get the offense set and then cut. And he was also setting screens for other guards too. So you saw him doing a lot of different things that are very nuanced and needed, because these bigs can't do it all by themselves. They can't get the ball themselves. They can try and dribble drive from the perimeter, but you don't necessarily want them doing that. But here's a guy who's able to orchestrate the offense, tell people where to cut, sees the court really well. A lot of the traits that Rondo possesses that the team was missing through these first two games en route to the 0-2 start. So there was the good from that, and I'm going to talk more about it later, but there was also bad. Before we touch on the bad and then the blowing of a 22-point lead here for the Pelicans, I want to say make sure you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. There's a lot going on around the league right now, whether it's all the injuries piling up, whether it's Chris Paul being out, and what are the Rockets kind of going to do there, and how do they then try and integrate him back? That's a really intriguing storyline, one that impacts the Pelicans as well. And also the Phoenix Suns firing their head coach Earl Watson after just three games. They look terrible. Locked On NBA is covering it all. They're giving you the local angles from all of the local podcast hosts here from part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tune in, know a little bit more about the league, stay up with the latest news. It's a great way just to recap everything very quickly. So again, don't forget to subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you
bye,
husband.
Wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
So again, the good was the off-ball movement, the getting inside and taking advantage of a smaller Lakers team with Davis and Cousins doing a lot of damage, particularly down low. When you take out the 5 of 15 shooting from deep in the first half, basically the Pelicans shot 80% from inside the paint, somewhere around that. I got to do the exact math on it. But it's an insanely high number in what this team should be doing. You try and play small against them, then they're going to go inside and absolutely destroy you there. And then when one of Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins come off the court, which is where the Pelicans have struggled this year, you have a guy in Jameer Nelson who's able to settle this offense down, keep it running, and not go on these scoring droughts that have plagued the Pelicans over the past couple of seasons. But things did start to very much fall apart in the end of the third and fourth quarter, where all of a sudden that 22-point lead completely evaporated as the Pelicans struggled. They only managed to pull it back together late in the fourth, but allowed the Lakers, I believe it was, to go on a 25-1 run, something along those lines, and allowed the Lakers to get a 5-point lead before, again, Jameer Nelson being the damn hero and savior of Pelicans basketball that he is, come in and save the day and settle the team down. By the way, Jameer Nelson did this after basically traveling for like 12 plus hours yesterday. He drove from Philly to New York to get on a flight at 7:30 in the morning to fly from New York to LA, signed with the Pelicans 2 hours before tip-off, and then basically won the game. That's an unbelievable, impressive thing to do. Basically, I'm done flying. I just want to go home and sleep for like a week to try and just recover, or sleep in my car in the parking lot. So I usually just leave it there at the airport. And to come off and play at such a high level of basketball and to know immediately what's going on and how to direct and flow this offense and everything, man, unbelievably impressive. I can't believe, you know, he had a number of other suitors out there on the market, and Dell Demps must have sold him on this team. And I know some people were upset about Jordan Crawford, though he hadn't played particularly well for the Pels. If you watched this game last night, you're not upset anymore, because Jameer Nelson was absolutely that important. So what allowed the Lakers to get back into this game were kind of two different things. One is that transition defense, which looked absolutely abysmal for the Pelicans in preseason coming back to haunt them. After every Pelicans miss, and this is where it kind of compounds itself and is the other aspect, Pelicans missed a lot in the second half. They all of a sudden started relying on the outside shot. You saw a lot of bad three-point attempts for the Pelicans, most of which, by the way, were hitting front iron. This tells you something, and that's that they had tired legs. The Pels flew out to Los Angeles after their Friday night game, got in, you know, at who knows what time, Saturday morning, early Saturday morning. Don't forget the game in New Orleans on Friday tipped at 8:30, and when it would normally have been a 7 o'clock game. So all of a sudden you're an hour and a half behind schedule, and that game runs a little bit longer because it's an ESPN game. So you get into LA later than you normally would. You have to then kind of walk through everything Saturday, get ready and get set for this game. You're likely still tired for the Sunday tip. And because of that, your legs, you don't have your legs under your jump shot as much. So when you're launching threes in the second half after playing very well the first half, these shots are going to come up short and they're going to hit front iron. And you saw the Pelicans kind of drop off in shooting. They shot 5 of 17 from deep. And these are probably threes they shouldn't have been taking. DeMarcus Cousins was 0 for 3. Anthony Davis was 1 for 3 during that stretch. So you had guys, as I move around here to be able to talk into the mic, that might not really want to be taking those three-pointers. Davis and Cousins needed to try and get down low, especially when the Lakers were on this run. All of a sudden, we're looking at this, and we're kind of stunned, being like, wait, what is happening here? Why can't they do anything? The offense basically vanished. You had no one cutting. You had everyone standing around. And what kind of devolved against Memphis, the Pelicans' offense, was when they started just trying to do these weird post-up things, and it shrinks the court tremendously because no one's moving and you have everyone else on the opposite side of the ball handler for these weird isolations. There was one play against the Lakers in particular that stands out to me where you get AD the ball on the low block, and then the guy who passes him curls around to the other side. You have four players on the perimeter, all on the opposite side of Anthony Davis. Davis gets doubled. He promptly turns the ball over. Not one of those guys moved. And Davis can't make the pass to him because he's double-teamed. No one kind of moves around to get open for him to provide an outlet for a kick out. And it's a turnover. And we saw too much of this against the Memphis Grizzlies. And we saw a ton of it last night against the Lakers. And that's where some of this comes from. So it's bad shot selection and then these terrible post-ups. So when the Pelicans are misfiring or they're turning the ball over, it allows the Lakers to get out and run. And that transition defense is a problem for the Pelicans. We saw it again last night. The Lakers put up 20 fast break points against them, and that's probably underselling it a little bit. There was probably a few more that just kind of aren't counted in there. And it was led by really Jordan Clarkson doing kind of some of the things that he does. And he's out there fast, just running in transition, makes one cut or one pass, boom, score for the Lakers. And it just, again, took for Jameer Nelson to come back in the game to kind of settle this all down, to run some sets again, to get some looks on the inside, to make a clutch three-pointer that he took, just pulling up over a guy. But overall, it's the kind of the same problems we've seen for the Pels these first three games now, rearing their ugly head. And it's all of these were expected. You knew at times the ball movement's going to go away. And you'd hope Jrue Holiday was going to be able to kind of steady this team down because he'd be out there while Rajon Rondo wasn't, at least closing games. Well, it took Jameer Nelson, and I think we see the answer is not Jrue Holiday in this case. And speaking of Jrue Holiday, let's talk about him a little bit here because his box score is going to show he put up 14 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists with 4 steals. He was not as impactful as you would have thought based off of that. And again, the problem is, I don't know, maybe we've just always kind of read this guy wrong, and now we've got to go back years and look at some footage from the past, which frankly, I'm lazy and don't want to do here. Because I think we can see his limits right now, and it doesn't matter if he was always like this or not, he just is now. You know, he had 4 turnovers, and those turnovers were bad, and a lot of them came on entry passes, but for a guy who needs the ball in his hand to kind of score and get to the rim, his handles really aren't good. He had his pocket picked a couple of times. He just lost the ball on contact a couple of times when there weren't foul calls. He had a ton of entry passes that were terrible. The Pelicans they got pushed away, but the Pelicans kept, so it doesn't count as a turnover. And then he goes 0 for 3 from deep, and at one point late in the fourth when the Pelicans need to get a bucket to kind of stem this run and change some of the momentum against them, he just launches a contested three that's nowhere near anything, and it was early in the shot clock, and you're wondering, you know, just exactly what is he doing? And it's confusing, and I don't know what's going on. It's just should he be aggressive? Because the handles aren't there, and I'm not sure. And he's not a great three-point shooter. He has moments where he is. He doesn't get to the line. Just what is he doing well or not? And with, you know, you figure you want him and Jameer Nelson starting together, but at a certain point, do you want Jameer Nelson starting maybe with a guy like Ian Clark or Jameer Nelson starting with Etuan Moore? Because those guys are going to play better, and they were. You know, Etuan Moore put up 19 points, had a huge, unbelievable floater that he called bank on that was a design play or design shot for him. Bank that he got from getting into the lane and hitting that floater runner shot. Holiday's jacking up contested threes on the perimeter, and I don't know what's going on here. So it's a big problem. Pelicans need more from him. The 14 points are nice, but that impact in the game isn't good, and it's going to be another area of concern. Again, these bigs will take you only so far, and they scored 49 points last night, but that you need to get another game like 19 out of Etuan Moore, 14 out of Ian Clark, and just a good overall effective managed game, I guess is maybe the best way to put it, with Jameer Nelson. You need nights like that from people, and I don't know who consistently is going to do them, because right now it's not Drew Holiday. It's everyone else other than him, and that's the bad thing, because frankly, Holiday's your 125, 126, 127, whatever amount it is, man, that you need to get more out of. If they can get consistently solid play from him, I'm not even asking for anything exceptional here. We're being realistic. But if they can get just something overall good from him, and those 14 points aren't it, this team can be dangerous. But until they get that, you're going to have to try and hope for nights like this from Etuan Moore. And look, I like Etuan Moore, but he's a perfectly average player. Nothing more than that. This is kind of a weird game from him. It's this, like the third highest scoring game he's had in his career, and it's just 19 points. You're not going to get nights like this from him all the time. He didn't make a shot the other night. So, you know, these are the issues this team faces. Drew Holiday's not doing anything to make you feel better. You know, if Jameer Nelson's going to keep playing at a very high level, which maybe he can do, I'm not saying he can. He certainly showed he still is going to be in this league for a very long time. Guys who can run an offense, stay poised, have that kind of composure will stay around the league. My goodness, you saw the Pelicans needed. But if you were to have a bad game, this Pelicans team might be done for because there's just no one else you trust handling the rock right now with how Drew Holiday is playing. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Look, the team got a win. Ultimately, that's what matters at the end of the day. But there's a lot to be concerned with. Transition defense, the offense, just again hitting those stretches where they're not getting buckets. Maybe Jameer Nelson can fix this. We're going to talk about that in tomorrow's edition of the podcast, by the way, where, you know, what should this rotation be to maybe maximize these two bigs and to make the most use of Jameer Nelson. I have an idea on how they're going to use him. It's similar to what they did on Monday. It's or on Sunday night. It's why you probably don't start Jameer Nelson right now. You have him be the first big off the bench and then have him kind of paired with Ian Clark. I don't want to spoil tomorrow's podcast. That's likely what we're going to need to talk about because right now the two most intriguing guys on this team are Ian Clark and Jameer Nelson. And I didn't even really talk about Ian Clark much in this podcast. But on LockedOnPelicans.com, I do have an article up right now talking about his off-ball movement, how he gets open for three, why he's shooting above 58.3% from deep right now because of this type of movement. His off-ball movement is incredibly, incredibly smart. Go give it a read, LockedOnPelicans.com, the companion site, you know, to the podcast here. So as I said, that's going to do it for this edition. Pelicans get the W. That's what matters. I'm your host, Jake Madison. Thank you all for listening. It's at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.